Why don't y'all turn to Romans chapter 8, verse 1. You know, condemnation is one of the biggest tactics that the enemy uses on us. And one of the fruits of condemnation is the feeling of unworthiness. I remember a situation, I had been born again maybe about a year or so, and I remember I was listening to this Christian radio station, and it had gone off the air during the middle of the day, and it freaked me out because I thought, oh my gosh, what if the rapture came? Because all there was static on the air, you know? I wasn't born again very long. I didn't know anything about the righteousness of God and everything else. Who's been there? I know some have been there. Maybe not in that particular situation, but we've all wondered, oh my gosh, what happened, you know? And it makes you doubt. And, you know, it really scared me, and the enemy tormented me all afternoon over that, just because I didn't know and understand who I was in Christ, that I was the righteousness of Christ. And I had been plagued with condemnation for a good part of my Christian walk, especially that fruit of feeling unworthy. And a lot of people in the body of Christ are right there in that position these days because they let the enemy beat them over the head with stuff because they don't understand and they're place in the body. They don't understand who they are in Christ. So, Romans 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of the life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. The word condemnation in the Greek is katakrima, or it means an adverse sentence or verdict. And in the dictionary, it means to express strong disapproval, to find guilty, to declare officially unfit for use. Something I found interesting when I was looking up that particular scripture in the Greek was that the last half of that verse 1 is not in the Greek. It's not in the original Greek. It was added by the translators. And so, you know, when you read it, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. That's pretty straightforward right there. It's blunt. It's plain. So, with the meanings of that, the verdict, to find guilty, to declare officially unfit. As I was going through there and looking up words, we could read that scripture according to the Greek as therefore there is now no sentencing, no verdict on those who are in Christ Jesus, to those who are born again. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free, has made us free. Free of guilt in every area of our lives. I am no longer officially unfit for use because I am free from the law of sin and death. I don't know about you, but that excites me. Amen. I am free. I am free. You are free. Therefore, there is now no sentencing. There is no condemnation. There is no guilt. You are free. Officially free. Fit for use for the kingdom of God. There's no excuse. You are fit for use because Jesus has made you free from the law of sin and death. No more letting the devil bang you over the head with feelings of unworthiness. The devil working through my flesh robbed me for years, robbed me of one of the greatest blessings a person can have, and that is knowing who you are in Christ. That deep-seated security, that peace that Jesus has set you free and that you are part of His body.
Amen.
He robbed me of that for years, and He's robbed others of that for years. And that feeling of Him making me feel unfit and knowing now that I'm no longer unfit. I am fit for the kingdom. I am fit to take the gospel. I am fit to do and be whatever He has called me to be in whatever walk of life He wants me to be in. Whether it's behind the pulpit, whether it's a school teacher, whether it's working in a pharmacy, whether it is a nurse, it doesn't matter. I am fit, and He has a reason for me being in that particular vocation because I'm going to be able to reach people. The last thing that the devil wants us to understand is that God has made everything in heaven available to us. Everything available to us. And through that right standing in Jesus Christ, we have righteousness. We are righteous. You know, the devil will taunt and taunt and taunt and taunt a person until, you know, they give in to sin. Or maybe they're thinking seriously about it. And because of those things, then, you know, the devil will come along and sit on your shoulder and he'll beat you up for either giving in to the sin or for thinking about it and really contemplating it. And he'll badger them and badger them and badger them and tell them, you know, God can't use you now. You can't do that. You're not worthy to be used like that. God can't trust you. And, you know, this is an attack of Satan against our flesh. And it doesn't matter how hard the devil tempts us, and it doesn't matter how much we give in or want to give in, it has nothing to do with our right standing in God. We need to understand the operation of the flesh. Most of us have made up our minds. We're born again. We're going to stay born again. We're going to serve God to the best of our ability. Most of us are there right now. The problem is that even though we did that and we mentally assent to that fact, we still allow the devil to put a ceiling on our life. And the devil does this by tormenting a person's mind with guilt and condemnation and shortcomings, and until he has actually built a stronghold in that person's mind over these things, these shortcomings, and how unworthy they are. And this person knows that God is more than able, but they just don't believe that God is more than able to do it for them. So let's go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. I went through the Greek on this particular passage of scriptures, and it was very interesting, the meaning of these words. And after going through and looking up several words, a lot of words through there, I'm going to read to you kind of in plain English how it goes. For the tools of our Christian service are not fleshly or temporary, but mighty through God to the demolition and destruction of the fortifications. With violent demolition, destroy these reasonings and thoughts, and everything that raises itself up and becomes a barrier against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every perception and purpose to the compliance and submission of Christ. That excited me too after I looked up all those meanings and put it together, amplified it. I thought, with violent demolition, destroy these thoughts and every high thing that tries to exalt itself against the knowledge of God. That knowledge of God that's within you already. The Word of God, what's planted in you. You need to take it and destroy that stuff. He said you can do it. He gave you the ability right here. The weapons of our walk with God are not fleshly. They're not of our own making. They are supernatural, so we can destroy these things. So we can destroy these barriers. We can destroy these strongholds. We can destroy these fortifications in our minds. And these strongholds are actually systems of thought that are empowered by our own emotions. Our own emotions. That's why when people flip out, you know, sometimes it was just like, you know, even over sometimes the smallest things, it's because their emotions are empowering that thing, that stronghold within them. I mean, I've been there. All of us have issues. All of us have things we have to deal with in our lives, you know, and overcome. I mean, I've been there. So anything, these strongholds, these imaginations, these high things were actually pulling down these systems of thought that have tried to exalt themselves above the Word and above the knowledge of God in our lives. So you see, Satan knows that we have been given, God has given us power over him and over all his powers. He knows that. So the only power that he really has over us, or his only tool he can have over us, is to deceive us into accepting our own defeat.
Amen.
If he can deceive us into accepting our own defeat, we'll be defeated. And he'll bring in those feelings of unworthiness to really bring it home. But I want to tell you, you are not defeated. You are not defeated. If you are in Christ, you are not defeated.
Right.
The only way the devil can defeat us is to continually hammer us with his own systems of thought.
Amen.
That means stirring up our emotions. And when our emotions are stirred up, it creates lack of peace. When your emotions are gone wild, you don't have peace. There is no peace. Until, instead of being transformed by the renewing of your mind, you're actually conforming yourself to his system of thoughts in your life. One area the devil really likes to attack in is your calling. Every single one of us has been called. It might not be to preach, but there are 8 callings, areas of calling in the body of Christ. And they're apostle, prophet, teacher, workings of miracles, gifts of healing, helps, governments, or diversities of tongues. 8 areas. And every single one of us here is going to fill one of those areas. And some of us may fill more than one of those areas. But everybody here has a spot in those 8 callings somewhere, but it's up to you to find out what spot you're supposed to fill. The Holy Spirit will reveal that to you if you spend time with him. So the devil knows you've been called to one of these areas, but what he'll do is he'll build strongholds in your life using imagination, and he'll replace the Word of God with an operation of the flesh. In order for the devil to defeat you, he has to actually build a fortress in your mind. Such as, I know that God can prosper me, but I know God can heal me, but I know God can deliver me from sin and set me free, but See, these are all fortresses. These are all strongholds that we're running up against in our mind. And these strongholds can be so powerful in a person's thinking that they may know what the word says, but the word can't do, won't do them a bit of good at all because of these fortifications that it keeps running into. And it's like, you know, those movies that you've seen with the castles and the moats and everything, and you've seen the big high walls, you know, and they're about a foot or 2 feet thick, you know. These are what these strongholds in our mind are like. These are these fortifications that the Word is talking about that we have to, with the help of the Holy Spirit, bring down in our lives. And these things have become so tall and so thick that they're holding those systems of thought securely inside those walls. And it's become so powerful that it has raised itself up against the knowledge of God. Instead of bringing those thoughts into captivity, it's there and capturing you instead. Now, the most important tool that the God has given us is the Holy Spirit. I don't know how many of you realize that, but it's the Holy Spirit. He has given us, and He will help us in praying in tongues. He's given us the Holy Spirit in that special language to help us bring down these fortifications, these strongholds, these systems of thoughts in our mind. But we have to allow Him to do it. We have to allow Him to bring the revelation of the Word to us to do that. So let's go over to Romans 12. Verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Okay, in the Greek, conform is suskematizo, which means to pattern yourself after. And transformation is metamorpho, and that's where we get the word metamorphosis, and it means to change by supernatural means to noticeably alter the appearance, character, and condition. And renew is anakainosis, which means renovation. And renovation means to restore to good condition. So we could say, do not pattern yourself after the world or the religious world, both, but be changed by supernatural means to the point that your character and appearance is noticeably altered by the restoring of your mind to good condition, so that you may prove what is the good and the acceptable and the perfect will of God. As long as you keep butting up against those strongholds that are keeping your emotions tied up in knots, you're not going to be able to find out what the good, the perfect, and acceptable will of the Father is, because you're not going to be able to hear. So, when you see a person will get caught up in a battle with their own spirit. It's like Paul was saying one time, you know, I want to do good, but then I do evil, you know. It's like this tug of war is going on the inside of you constantly. And if a person never does anything to strengthen the part that wants to do good, and if they don't do anything to destroy the part that wants to do bad, they're most likely never going to succeed. They're going to end up failing because of this struggle, this tug of war that's going on in the inside of them. You have to make a decision. You have to make a decision. What do you want? Do you want the things of God? Do you want to tear this stuff down and fulfill your call and to fulfill the will of God? Or do you want to be led around by the nose by the devil with a ring in your nose all the time, letting him sling you every which direction? What do you want to do? Over in 2 Corinthians 10, there we were reading, he's given us tools. He's given us keys that we can use to go on the offense against the devil's tactics. It's very plain. And it doesn't matter if the devil has already attacked you, have built strongholds in your mind, if you're fighting against and you feel like, you know, you have a fortification as strong as Fort Knox going on, you can still build yourself up to the point in the Holy Spirit that you can defeat these things.
Right.
You know, I can't tell you how long it's going to take because I don't know how many strongholds or how big the stronghold is. But, you know, you have to keep chipping away at this with the help of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Praying in other tongues is a major key in the process of transformation. When you pray in other tongues, you yield your born-again spirit to the Holy Spirit. You're speaking directly to God. He hears you perfectly when you're praying in tongues. The devil does not understand in any way, shape, or form what you are saying. He is left out of the loop, so there's no such thing as warring in tongues.
That's right.
When you pray in tongues, you're praying down those mysteries. You're praying down those plans that God has for you. But you can only access them through the Holy Spirit because He's the one that reveals to you those plans, because He's the one that Jesus sent back to earth to be with you to do that. So it's by His power and not our own ability that this transformation starts to take place in our lives. At first, you know, this revelation may show up like a spiritual wisdom, some understanding. It's kind of like a light coming on in a dark room. Have you ever been reading the Word and all of a sudden, click, you understood it, and it's like a light came on, and you got excited about it. Well, that's what He does. He does that for us. And as you continue to pray, and you press in there, and you keep pushing and pushing and pushing, things will keep becoming more clearer and clearer and clearer to you as you keep pushing in there. And those strongholds and those imaginations and those high things that are exalting itself against the knowledge of God in your life will be pulled down. They will start to crumble. They will start to come down and are replaced by God's system of thought. I'd much rather have His system of thought than the enemy's or my own. The understanding of the Word and His anointing will rise up on the inside of you and will stand guard and will be armed against those things of the enemy coming against you, and you'll be armed with the knowledge of the life of Christ within you. Your hope of glory. Your hope of glory. Another tool we have is meditation of the Word. And that's when you take a book. You've heard us teach this. Take a book, take a passage of Scripture, keeping everything in context, always, and read it 10, 20, 30, maybe 50 times, and then move on to another one. But you keep doing that, and as you do that, your soul, your mind, your emotions, all will start to assimilate what you're reading. And assimilate means to absorb, to understand. So this will start to happen. And as you immerse yourself into it, you'll find yourself thinking about passages of the Word throughout the day. I love to read, and I've told you before I love to read. And I can put my nose in a book if it's something I'm really interested in. I can put my nose in a book and not pull it out for an entire day. I can totally immerse myself in books. And I will think about them throughout the day while I'm working, you know. But a couple years ago, the Lord said to me, you know, I want you to immerse yourself in the Word the way you immerse yourself in your novel. Well, see, I was letting those novels replace the Word in my life. I was immersing myself in it instead of the Word. I needed to be immersing myself in the Word. Well, I've been obeying the Lord on that. I still read at times. He allows me, you know, sessions where I can go read a book or two, you know, and enjoy it. And it's not just with reading. TV is a big issue. These series that are on, weekly things, every week. Oh, man, I got to watch that. I can't go without watching this, you know. And you think about, oh, what's going to happen? Did you see that? Did you see what happened? I wonder what's going to happen next, you know. TV is the same way, you know. You immerse yourself into the shows. So the only thing that should have that kind of power in our lives is Jesus. Is our desire for Him and the Word. Let's go over to Hebrews chapter 4. Let's go to verse 12. For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So the Word of God is alive. It's alive. It's powerful. It's a truth that can't be altered or changed. We have no excuse concerning the Word of God here in America. We have no excuse. We can get a Bible practically anywhere and very inexpensively. The computer, you can get the Word on the computer. You can get the Word on CD, tape. There's no excuse. There's no excuse here in the United States for any of us not having a Bible of some sort. And, you know, some people might say, well, I just can't read very well, you know. And so, hey, there's no excuse. If you want to read, and really the reading is the best form, because to me, you assimilate it better if you can read it. But if you can't, that's fine. Listen to it over and over and over again on CD or on your computer. But, you know, if you will ask the Holy Spirit, you might not be able to read anything else very well, but if you ask Him to teach you to read and help you read the Word, He will, and He'll bring it to your understanding. You might not understand anything else you read in any other type of book, but He will make sure that you read clearly the Word of God. But, you know, there are also other valid words through prophecy. In 1 Timothy, Paul tells Timothy, you know, fight the good warfare because of the prophecies that were spoke over you. You know, I'm not saying that every prophecy spoken over you by some closet prophet is valid and true. This is where you're going to have to, with the Holy Spirit, you know, you have to be careful. But with the Holy Spirit, take those words that have been given to you and pray over them and say, okay, Holy Spirit, is this truly of you? And if you know it's, you know, from a person that is, you know, highly respected and let's say, you know their credibility in the Lord, and their operation is true, you can take those words and you need to read them over and over, just like you do the scriptures, because you need to get them inside of you, because that's a picture that God is trying to show you for your life that He has for you. And He wants you to understand. He wants you to understand that. I mean, there's still words that I'm, you know, were given to me 10 years ago that I still come to mind, but it's just not, the time is not ready yet. And I know that as I read them. It's just not time yet. But yet I keep them out there before me because this is God's heart. This is God's heart. And I don't care what it may look like in the natural right now. It's still God's heart. And I know one day, you know, because of me doing what I'm supposed to do and moving myself into that position, because I have decided to pray and to fast and to seek His face and to read the Word, you know, they'll happen. They will happen. So I want to encourage you to spend time not only in the Word, which is the most important, but take those words that have been given to you and listen to them or read them over and over and over and over again, because they're valid. They're valid. God doesn't speak, you know, just pours out words there just because He wants to hear Himself speak. It's His heart. It's His heart for you. Remember, when you're doing this and you're reading the Word and you're reading your prophecies, that you are creating a new image on the inside of you. You are replacing those old systems of thought that the devil has kept you bound up in with God's system of thoughts and how He sees you and what He has for you. Now, we also need to deal with our emotions. And those emotions are the ones that empower these strongholds. And that's where private worship comes in, another vital key. And private worship is where you spend time by yourself with the Lord, worshiping Him. You might take maybe 30 minutes a day and just, you know, go into a private place where you can just worship Him. And, you know, it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy at all, because when you go in there, it's going to feel like your words are hitting the ceiling and falling flat on the floor. You're going to feel like, well, I don't feel goosebumps and all tingly, and it's like, you know, I'm not getting through. You know, that's just your flesh putting up a fight because it doesn't want you to be in there, because it knows that you, if you stay in there and if you keep at it, you're eventually going to break through that, and the anointing will actually come into the room with you. It will. It will. In private worship, you can have a manifested presence with the presence of the living God when you push through to that extent. You will have it. I know it doesn't sound spiritual to like say make yourself do it, but you have to make yourself do it. Just like you have to make yourself read the Word, you have to make yourself pray in tongues. Because your flesh is going to fight every inch of the way with you on making you stay out of the things of God. Oh, let's go over to Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 18. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation. That word in the Greek actually means excess. So do not be drunk with wine, in which is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another. Now that two words in the Greek actually means yourself. Doesn't mean one another. It means yourself personally. So it means you need to speak to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So you need to start out telling Jesus how much you appreciate Him, how much you love Him, what He means to you. Incorporate the Word along with that. Finding those scriptures that maybe you're going through something, finding those scriptures, you know, that you need to be worshiping Him for and through, that you need in your life. You need to be like King David. You know, become a psalmist. Become a psalmist just in your own private, you know, prayer time, your private worship time. Become a psalmist and make up songs to the Lord yourself. David did. Lots of others did. Whatever's in your heart, just let it flow out to Him. You don't have to be a professional to do that. Just from your heart. Just from your heart. Just tell Him how much you appreciate Him. Like, Jesus, I love You and I worship You and I adore You. I appreciate you so much. I thank you for setting me free. I thank you that therefore there is no more condemnation in you because I've been set free. I call myself free, free of all condemnation. I've been set free from sin. I've been set free from sickness. I've been set free from disease. I've been set free from poverty because you, Jesus, have made me free. 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 So I love you and I appreciate you. Just like that. And keep doing it over and over and over and over. Just from your heart. Just from your heart. And as you're doing this, you're ministering to your own soul. You're ministering to your own soul and you're reprogramming your mind with the things of God and His will for you. Our soul, our emotions, our mind, it's the battleground. That is the battleground in our lives. As a man thinks, so is he. It's our mind. That's the battleground. That's where the strongholds live. And so when we speak God's truth, whether it's scripture, whether it's prophecy, we're taking back control of our lives. With the authority of the truth of the Word of God. The Word and those prophecies are something for us to conform to. A hope, that image. We talked about that quite a bit there for a while. And as we speak forth those truths, we're just reinforcing them in us. I'd much rather be reinforcing these things than to keep letting the enemy rerun things through my brain constantly. You know how he does that. He continually causes things to replay in your mind over and over and over and over again. We got to shut it off. We got to shut it down and let these truths that we know reprogram us and let those things be the ones that are constantly running through our minds over and over. Now the next tool is everybody's favorite. Fasting. Everybody loves to fast. When fasting is combined with prayer, it helps to cause the strongholds in our life to come to light faster. They come to the surface faster. The Holy Spirit kind of turns a spotlight on different areas when you fast that you need to deal with. Now, we can, you know, these things will come to light in our lives eventually just by praying in tongues and spending time with the Lord, but fasting helps kind of speed that up a little bit to where you can take care of them before the enemy decides to turn that handle and then cause you to handle it then, you know, take care of the issue then. You can either take care of it now with the Holy Spirit revealing something to you, or you can wait till the enemy comes along, you know how he does, and grabs those handles in our lives at times, or those buttons. Mine's a big red button, and he pushes it hard, you know, and you can, you know, take care of it then. The choice is yours. And we all have hidden things in our lives. All of us have issues. All of us have hidden things. Not one of us is free of situations like that. Things that are buried so deep within us that they're actually causing us problems and we don't even realize it. And this is where fasting comes in to help bring those things to light, to help us start getting to the root of the problem so we can get rid of them. No, it's not a fun thing. It's not a pretty sight sometimes when you're fasting, but it is definitely necessary. It is a necessary tool that the Lord has given us to use. And once we deal with these things, it helps us to become stronger. It helps our character to become stronger. It helps us to become stronger. So now you understand that God, by His grace, has provided us a way out and has given us a forever friend who will never leave us, who is going to help us all the time, and He's going to help us go forth in victory in Jesus. You don't have to stay trapped in strongholds anymore.
Right.
From this night forth, every single one of you who are here and have ears to hear, you don't have to be trapped in a stronghold anymore. You understand now that this is not a work of the flesh, but it's us taking action. We can't do this by the flesh. But us taking action and doing something about the situations in our lives using the tools and Corinthians that He has given us to use. Stop letting the devil condemn you over these imaginations. Do the things you know to do. And if you're doing them, continue to do them. Continue to do what you know to do and don't give up. I know it gets hard sometimes. I know your knees buckle sometimes. But just because they buckle doesn't mean you can't get back up and keep going.
Sure.
We're all going to miss it at times. I mean, that's going to happen till the day we die. We'll miss it. But we get back up and we keep going. And not let the devil camp out on our shoulder and harass us and tell us we're not fit for the kingdom anymore.
Sure.
You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Now, what I want you to think about too, I want you to realize, is that without Jesus, we can't do anything. But without the Holy Spirit, who is our friend, we will never have the mind of Christ in the plan for our lives. Let's worship Him.